This is Tara Morgan of Voice of Vashon Radio, Vashon Island. This month, legendary singer-songwriter Carla Bonhoeff is returning to the stage at Vashon Center for the Arts to perform an intimate set of her classics. I had a chance to sit down with Carla to talk songwriting, touring, and what makes a song a classic. Carla Bonhoeff is performing at the Vashon Center for the Arts Thursday, March 7th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $35 and $45, available at vashoncenterforthearts.org. Voice of Vashon is sponsored in part by Windermere Real Estate, Vashon Fire Department, and Come On Barber. Thanks to all our underwriters and donors for your support.
Hey.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
My name's Tara Morgan, and I'm a local volunteer producer and radio host for Voice of Vashon, which is our local radio station here on the island. Just wanted to get started with saying thanks for joining me. So we're here to talk to you just days before your performance at the Vashon Center for the Arts on Thursday, March 7th. And I know you were here in 2018 last, and we're excited to have you come back. It's fun to have Vashon back on the docket.
Yeah, we haven't been there in a while. We come through Seattle quite a bit in Portland, but we haven't gotten on the ferry and hopped out there. So I'm glad we're going to do that.
Yeah, I've definitely been hearing a lot of buzz. I've been seeing a lot of your posters around town, and it's nice to see you in person.
Thank you.
So to help our listeners get to know you a little bit better today, I just wanted to ask you a little quick round of questions. Acoustic or electric?
Acoustic.
What's a song on your desert island soundtrack?
James Taylor, Frozen Man.
Do you prefer a house concert or a big venue?
Big venue.
What's your instrument of choice?
I would say piano.
What's a must-have you have on tour with you?
Throat coat tea.
Nice. What's a favorite venue that you've played?
Libero Theater, Santa Barbara.
Nice. And what would be a dream collaboration, live or otherwise?
Wow. God, there's a lot of different ones. Probably James Taylor.
Good. We're going to talk about James Taylor for today for sure. So let's get started back at the beginning. How did music originate for you? Did you come from a musical family, or where did music come into your life?
I mean, not really. I mean, my parents liked music and listened to music and, you know, happily provided music lessons, you know, guitar, violin, clarinet, piano. Yeah, just music was in the house. My parents listened to Frank Sinatra and Barbra Streisand and Benny Goodman. And my dad liked to play like boogie-woogie piano. And my mom played pretty good classical piano. So it was just a musical place, not professional, but lots of music around. And then growing up in Los Angeles was the other part of that, is just there was music everywhere. I mean, concerts and, you know, we were, especially late 60s and early 70s, just surrounded by live music, really.
Yeah, I understand you were involved in a singer-songwriter event at the Troubadour.
They had an open mic night on Monday nights, but in order to get on that, you had to sign up early. You had to be there when the box office opened. So, you know, people would start lining up for that. So we had to get out there at like noon. So yes, I would have to cut school and go there and sit in line.
Yeah. Did you get to meet any folks that you ended up working with later?
Oh yeah. I mean, that was really the center of where all that kind of stuff was. Jackson Browne. It's where the Eagles really formed, Linda Ronstadt, where my band Brindle got started. I mean, really, that was kind of the center of that West Coast sound.
Yeah, yeah. And what year was that?
69, 70, kind of in there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. It's an exciting time. And I wonder, you know, a lot of the artists that I've talked to have started out in things like open mics and really launched their careers both through collaboration and through experimentation. Was there a part of your musical style that was developed through those kinds of events?
I think there was just, everyone was learning how to write songs then, and we were kind of coming out of really the folk movement and then into that singer-songwriter movement. I think I was the next generation, really kind of right after Joni Mitchell and Judy Collins. And so You know, that's an interesting question. I don't know why we were all writing kind of the same way, but must have just been in the air. I don't know.
Yeah, must have been. Can you tell me, like, what's your favorite job in music? Songwriting, song arranging, the artistry around performing?
I think recording for me is the most fun. You know, once you have songs and going in the studio and arranging them and seeing them really just transform into a record. I mean, for me, singing vocals, doing harmony vocals, that's my favorite part. I like that better really than probably being on stage, just because it's the most creative time.
Yeah, I would imagine in the studio, you have a lot of ideas floating around. And I actually just interviewed a band about an hour ago called Glitter Fox from Portland, and they talked about the trust that goes into bringing your own original work into the studio and kind of handing it off and saying, you know, how do you want to collaborate? Can you give me an example of a song that really just kind of came to life in the studio?
Well, when I first started out, I was incredibly fortunate to have musicians like Lee Sklar and Russ Kunkel and, you know, people that would come in and hear the songs and just, they would play incredible. I mean, so those moments for me are some of my most favorite moments. I could completely trust musicians like that with anything I was doing. So I was fortunate with that. And then even, you know, more recently, I have a collaborator that I work with in where I live here. And we just go in and just pick things. We did a holiday album and we just picked songs. And he's a great arranger and a great producer. And I trust him to just, you know, kind of go wherever he's going to go with things. So it's really fun, actually. It's just a question of finding the right person, I think, or the right people.
Yeah, absolutely. And it seems like with a career as long as yours, you know, you've definitely been in a lot of circles and met a lot of different people. And I'm sure you're have been lucky sometimes and not so lucky, but there's got to be some magic to that collaboration now, especially creating an album. The last one you created was that holiday album, right?
Yeah, it was during COVID when all my shows got canceled and we knew we had probably at least a year of time. And so it just kind of happened. We just started doing a few songs and then it turned into a CD. So it wasn't something I was planning to do. We were just trying to, you know, alleviate our boredom. You know, we were so stuck at home.
Yeah, exactly. I know a lot of our listeners probably don't realize a lot of the songs that are yours were written or were performed and created by folks like Bonnie Raitt, Wynonna Judd, Linda Ronstadt. But I consider all of your songs to be classics. You know, there's so many different ways that they can be performed. What is it like for you to write a song and then hand it off to someone?
You know, I didn't really write those songs for other people. I mean, they ended up doing them. And, you know, you always hope that, you know, they're going to come out good. I have to say, for, you know, 99.9% of the time, I was always incredibly pleased with, you know, the women that recorded my songs did beautiful jobs. So, I mean, it's always a little hard because they're never going to kind of hear it exactly like you do, but still, there's something really affirming and, you know, empowering about having someone like Linda Ronstadt, you know, choose your song and do your song and expose it to a really huge audience like she did.
Yeah, one of the songs I wanted to ask about was Lose Again that Alison Krauss took to a bluegrass level. What was that like to, and she ended up winning a Grammy for that album.
Yeah, that was probably the biggest surprise I've ever had. I would have never expected that, but that was really cool to hear her do that.
Yeah, it's a really dynamic track. And she's, of course, I'm a big bluegrass fan. So it was really fun to hear a totally different, divergent way of hearing your music. I wanted to ask you about walking me through the writing of Tell Me Why. I watched a YouTube video of you from long ago playing it, and you were very proficient on the guitar. As you said, you can play guitar. What was the process like of writing that particular song?
You know, I don't even remember. I mean, songs just kind of come out of, you know, you start playing the guitar, you find some chords you like, you get kind of a melody going and some lyrics come. I mean, it's nothing all that specific. It's just that process of writing and trying to kind of open your channel and let whatever comes out and, you know, hope that it forms something that sounds good and makes sense. You know, it's just, it's a mysterious kind of process for me. I don't really, I couldn't teach anybody how to do it. I mean, I never do those workshops or anything because I wouldn't be able to tell anybody how to write a song. I have no idea.
I remember reading an interview about creativity, and she said that in the olden days, and as it should be now, artists aren't geniuses. They have genius, and the genius flows through them. And then if that channel is open, like you said, things can come through. Have you found there to be more optimum conditions to have the channel be open?
You know, I think it's kind of a combination of discipline and then getting out of your own way. I mean, you do have to sit down at regular times and, you know, every day, every other day, whatever it is, 30 minutes, an hour. And then I think the hardest part is that inner critic, that voice, you know, that's always, that's not good enough, or, ooh, I don't want, or so-and-so won't think that's cool. Whatever it is, that voice that's always kind of running, you have to turn off to really free yourself. And I think that's a challenge for people. It has always been for me.
Yeah. Does it help sometimes to have someone else come in and help you finish a lyric or finish a line to a song? Or do you like to see it all the way through?
You know, I have a couple people I can co-write with, but they're people I've known forever and ever, and I'm pretty close to my friend Wendy Waldman. I'm not real fond of just going in a room with a stranger and trying to write a song. I'm never that Nashville approach thing. I've never been able to do that.
What do you think it takes for a song to really stand up to become a classic?
I don't know. You know, I mean, I think it's like you have to stay out of doing something that's sort of, you know, to kind of, I don't know. That's a tough one. I think just a classic lyric, love songs, you know, things, some things are records and some things are songs. You know, there's records that are incredible, but if you tried to, you know, cover that song, it might be kind of hard because it's all in the record. A song, I think a great song is just something that anybody can pick up a guitar and kind of play, and it's great.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if the lyrics are relatable or it's timely, you know, and some things are classic, timeless kind of concepts, broken hearts, you know, love.
Right.
All of that. Yeah. Is there a song that you feel like is really a classic for you of yours?
Maybe All My Life, which was a song that Aaron Neville and Linda Ronstadt recorded. I think that's a pretty classic pop love song. Mm-hmm. And I have a song called Goodbye, My Friend that a lot of people use when they're saying goodbye to people in their lives. And that one, I think, is possibly a classic for that type of thing.
Yeah, I always wonder what the answer is for everyday people, what in their soundtrack of their lives, you know, the songs that come through in certain times, you know. And I would imagine you've got some in people's soundtracks for sure. Speaking of classics, my introduction to you was hearing your version of The Water is Wide in my college days. I didn't hear it until probably the late 80s. It was when I was in Ithaca, New York, listening to a lot of folk music and a lot of singer-songwriter, a lot of harmony music. And I know it's a folk song of Scottish origin, actually, which I don't think a lot of people realize, but yours stands as my all-time favorite version of that song. What was your attraction to recording that?
Well, I learned it when I was about 14. I took guitar lessons from a great musician, Frank Hamilton. He was in the Weavers and he taught in a little guitar store in Hollywood called Barney Kessel's Music World. And mm-hmm. I was very lucky to take guitar lessons from him. And he taught me a lot of the arrangements from the Weavers, that one included. So I'd been playing it forever and I just decided to record it on my second album.
And you did record it with?
James Taylor, J.D. Sather, and Garth Hudson on accordion, which was incredible.
Yeah, there's definitely, I love the arrangement of that one. And then, of course, I'm a big James Taylor fan. I just saw him last summer here at the Chateau. And how did that collaboration come about? It sounds like you had a long relationship with him.
I met James, I think, through Peter Asher, who managed Linda Ronstadt and also produced James and produced Linda. So we just asked if he would come and sing on it, and he did. So I can't remember exactly. I think it was just the same circle of people, musicians that were around at the same time.
Yeah. Are you on tour right now? Is this part of a stop on a tour that you're doing?
This is we do like sort of 3 or 4 days at a time. So yeah, this is a sort of a Northwest swing. We're doing Seattle, Portland, and Vashon.
Yeah, this is a very big singer-songwriter musical island. One of the things that we take a lot of pride in is how much original music is created here. And any time, any day of the week, there's some music being played somewhere. And whether it's in a coffee shop or at a big stage or a black box or something like that. So you'll be in good company for
That's
sure.
great.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about where your career is headed.
Oh, goodness. I think at this point, I'm just doing mostly touring and a little bit of writing. And I'm just trying to do this as long as I can. I'm in my 70s. So, I mean, it gets, certainly harder to be traveling. And so I'm trying to put together some different kinds of shows and some different, with some different artists, just trying to keep going.
And how have you managed to keep your voice so strong and so healthy all these years? That's a lot of singing.
As you get older, it gets harder, and I do have to work on it more. I have to do vocal exercises, and I have to be careful we don't book too many nights in a row because I would say after about 3 nights, I need a break. So it's just kind of knowing your limits. And, it's a muscle. Your vocal cords are a muscle like anything else. You have to use it and you have to exercise it. And, if you want to run 3 miles, you got to start running 1 mile. You have to kind of do it all the time. And it's hard because vocal exercises are not the most fun thing to do.
No. No. Who will be joining you on stage for the show here on Vashon?
Mina Gerber, who is a great guitar player, she's was there with us last time, and it'll be just Nina and I. It's kind of an unplugged type show.
You must have some fans come to these shows who have been following you for a majority of your career. Is that fun and interesting to meet fans who've been following you for so long? Do they bring you weathered albums to sign and
It is.
things?
No, it is. Yeah, they bring albums to get signed, and people tell me about how this record got them through this or this record got them through that. So it's nice to see that it was been meaningful in people's lives.
Yeah, I bet.
Can
I
you hold on
bet.
one second? I think there might be someone here.
What is a typical day like in Carla Bonoff's life?
Oh, well, I live in a beautiful place where I go out and I hike. I hike up in the hills here in Santa Barbara. And then I have 3 cats that I take care of. And I do a lot of gardening and a couple of errands. And that's it. It's nothing to complain about. And
Do
then I
you get
get
to
ready to go on the road.
practice your instruments every
Oh,
day? And
yeah. And
awesome.
vocalizing, the wonderful vocalizing.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time. I know this was short, but I definitely wanted to get it on the air and get people excited about your show this week here on Vashon.
Thank you so much. You take care.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
To see photos of Carla Bonoff and get links to the bands and events mentioned, check out the show notes on voiceofvashon.org. This show was written, produced, hosted, and edited by me, Tara Morgan. Special thanks to the Voice of Vashon team. Connect with us on Instagram and Facebook at Voice of Vashon.